Okay, it's time for us to get started.
Today is what?
Turn your mic on.
It is on. Okay. Today is the 18th of March, and we're going to prepare ourselves for the Word of God by having a few moments of silent prayer. And during that time, we have the opportunity to name privately to God the Father any unconfessed sins, which ensures the filling of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful that we can come to this place and grow in grace and knowledge and just thank you and be so happy that you are our God and you are leading the whole band on the whole earth. And we're thankful for that as well. So we pray that you will help us to focus and concentrate this evening. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. We're going to do a little review by necessity. Do y'all remember last Wednesday, I was going through getting close to the end, explaining not only 1 John 3:10, but a couple of more. And I thought that I had lost it or something. You know, I was getting to the point, it was really coming to a culmination and it all was going to be great. And I was skipping a few things so I could get to it, and I skipped over it. So I have gone back in, I have redone it. And it's going to start with 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, so you can turn to that now if you'd like. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. I don't know how long this is going to last because it's very difficult to swim against the stream. And that's what I was doing with this verse and another one also. And so I'm going to go until I run out. And if I don't run out, then that's all right too. But we see number 14. That was the end of that portion on 1 John 3:9. Do y'all, anybody remember what's John 3:9 was about? It has to do with your birth, your spiritual birth. Y'all remember that? Y'all look like you don't remember it. We spent a long time on it.
About when we're in the divine dinosphere, when we're spiritually
born. Right, good. You get a star for that. So it's going on into this, but let's just get this last one, number 14. Every sin of every believer is a vote for Satan. Isn't that enough for you to quit sinning? Huh? Yeah, well. And his cosmic system. So when we are purposely sinning, it's like giving a vote for Satan and his cosmic system. And every moment lodged in the divine dynasphere is a vote for God in the angelic conflict. She loves that. That's her favorite, I think her favorite one. Okay, so that's, if we would just think about when we sin, that we're given a vote for sentence, not for Satan, and it's a vote. It is a vote if we sin. Okay, here we go. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. By this the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, this is hard to understand, even if you pretty well know what it is. But I'm going to go through it because if you just read this, I believe you would just move on because it's not an easy verse to see. But now, I have extended this verse and it makes it a little more sense. And so we're going to look at it right here. 1 John 3:10. By this, and these children can be called students as well, for this, by the way, when we are in verse 10, when it says by this, you know what the by this is, what he's referencing? Our birth again. By this, students of God, and that would be believers walking in the divine dynasphere, and the disciples for the devil, and they are in the cosmic system. So, and these are manifested, are apparent, are obvious, and then we see anyone who does not manufacture integrity, righteousness, the Greek word there is dikaiosune, all those mean righteousness. They're not in there, I just put them in there. Anyone who does not manufacture these, and anyone who does not love his fellow brother, is not from God. And that would be a believer, but outside the divine dynasphere. And that's what we're going to get into. So, put your thinking caps on. This is from John MacArthur, and this is his take on that verse. There are only two kinds of children exist in the world, children of God and children of Satan. No one can belong to both families simultaneously. He's doing well so far. Either one belongs to God's family and exhibits his righteous character, or one belongs to Satan's family and exhibits his sinful nature. So this is what kind of got me seeing the light. Just because you are in God's family, it doesn't mean that you're going to exhibit his righteous character. And you know that, and I know that, because we live it every day. We're going to have sins. We don't try to have sins, but it does anyway. And it sounds like what MacArthur is doing is, if you are in God's family, then you're fine. And he says right here, in God's family, let's see, nowhere, either one belongs to the other family and exhibits his righteous character. And there are, if I had to guess, and somebody said, how many righteous characters are there? Are the ones that are being obedient? Or do they outnumber those who are not producing righteousness? And of course, anybody probably would say, no way. We're way outnumbered when it comes to being on Satan's side, a family that exhibits his sinful nature. So most people think, well, isn't that the way it is in reality? Those people that go to church and they pray and they walk the old ladies across the street and they do this and that. Sure, they are always like that. Well, I would say not normal for that. They just think that if a person is reading the Bible, they're going to church, they're doing all the things that a growing Christian would do, they think, well, that's just about everybody. But it does not. And then when you get to the Satan's family, exhibits his sinful nature as well. Now is where we're going to start getting into it. You see that line right there in between them? That's where it starts. That's where I'm going to start explaining what that means. And we're going to go slow, and we're going to get it hopefully, because what he has given was a good effort, but people in God's family many times are even worse than those that are in Satan. So here we go. What is given above probably has not been considered. There is another possibility where believers who have been born of God but have become children of the devil. Now that's the first shot right there. And what they don't understand, they think it's between the children of God and Satan, and that's all there is to it. But it's much more than that. And we have there's another possibility where believers who have been born of God, and that was the verse before, but have become children of the devil. Now that would get somebody's attention, I think, if you just said they are believers who have been born of God, but have become children of the devil. Now, look at this one right here. By this. Now, really concentrate on this, because if you get this, you'll get the whole idea. That's the verse for the first verse. And do you find that in the first verse, which is verse 10? By this. Now, this we're going to see in this little part right here what that means. By this is the first two words of verse 10. It is a reference to the believer's spiritual location. And you think, well, what difference does that make? What is that about? Again, it is a reference to the believer's spiritual location, because I won't read it right now. I'm just going to tell you. If he is in a divine dynasphere, that is a location. And that we are born into the divine dynasphere. That's a good place to be. But as we go on, if the believer is residing inside the divine dynasphere, he is a student of God. And stamp him, he's on his way. But if he resides in the cosmic system, he is an agent for the devil. So do you see why the question is here? It is a reference. By this, that's what we're talking about, gives the reference of the believer's spiritual location. So by this, the ones that are in the divine dynasphere, they are doing fine. And they are in the divine dynasphere. Of course, every person now or then or sometime, they're going to sin. And that's when they go to the cosmic system. But it's not only he. He's done a good job, and a lot of people think, well, that's all there is. No. He is a student of God also. But the same person, these same believers, can... But if he resides in the cosmic system, which he does whenever he sins, he is an agent for the devil. Now, do we have that much under our belt? And so it has a lot to do with where you are. The Bible doesn't teach that God looks upon all people as his children. Have you ever heard people say, oh yeah, we're all God's children? Nah, not so. They could be. But they have to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ to become in part of God's family. So the Bible doesn't teach that God looks upon all people as his children. The Lord Jesus said to the religious rulers, ye are of your father the devil. And I don't believe that was done to make them feel good. I think it was done because it is reality. And by the way, that is in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Now, if you want to see that verse, you better write it down on something, because before we get out of here, you're going to forget it. Unless you have an exceptional IQ. Okay. There is another way of saying this. There's another way of saying that God looks upon all people. There are those who have believed in Jesus Christ, and those do not believe in him. This you could say up here where it says the Bible doesn't teach that God looks upon all people as his children. Well, you could say it in another way here also. There's another way of saying this. There are those who have believed in Jesus Christ and those who do not believe in Jesus Christ. And so that's another way of showing that it is God is ready to give anyone the gospel, what the gospel is about. But they have to believe in Jesus Christ. There are believers who trust and obey God. But there are also believers who refuse to obey Him. Now, if you were thinking, or if you were going to guess which one would outweigh the others, which way do you think it would be? Do you think there are more believers who trust in God and obey Him? Or do you think there's also believers who refuse to obey Him? That's the heavy one, isn't it? Good. Okay. So we're going through this and we're seeing something developing. It's not that we're God's children, so we've got it made and we're really good. And the ones that are over here with Satan, they're no good. Do you know who that is over there in the cosmic system with Satan? Believers! The brothers are the ones that are doing good. But we'll get to that. Any questions so far? Okay. They are disciplined by God and have fallen into the clutches of the devil. Now let's stop at that for right now. What does that mean that if they are not obeying God, where are they going to be residing? Right. And so, and they are going to be, and by the way, that's where they were going to be. But who are they going to be?
They're going to act like the devil's child. They're still God. They're not a very obedient good child.
Well, they're going to be the same people that are in the doing, I should say, they are in obeying God, trusting Him and all that. Those are the same people. They're not the ones that goes to Satan aren't robots. They are the same people. That's one of the keys to this. So they are disciplined by God, because we're talking about the ones that have not obeyed Him, and they have fallen into the clutches of the devil. And John the Apostle said they are not from God. Remember that? I can show it to you. Right here. And anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. What does that mean? You don't have to answer that, because I'm going to give it to you and show you what it means. But what I'm trying to lay down for right now, these are all the same people. They're all believers in Jesus Christ. Now, what does that tell you? I'll get to a place where you can see it for yourself. We'll get back to this. It's very important to know what that is. Oh, well, here I am. I just go to the next sentence. What does that mean that they are not from God? Does it mean that they are no longer children of God? I think not. Does it mean that they can acknowledge their sins to God the Father and not be forgiven? No. The phrase "not of God" refers to their arrogant way of living, which is certainly not of God. That's all it is. They are not of God. It means God doesn't allow this, and they are going to be in the cosmic system, and so they're not of God because they are living. Let me get this right here. We'll start. Not for God. Not of God. Not of God refers to arrogant way of living that these people are doing, and they continue to do it, which is certainly not from God. It's just saying that God is not part of this, what these people do. They're arrogant. They're sinning. All the horrible things they do, they are not from God. But does that mean they're no longer children? No. We got to keep that in mind. God always loves His children. The devil always hates Christians. He hates every one of us because we are for God and God loves us, and he just... So it's not about unbelievers and with the devil. I'll show you that in a moment as well. But God always loves his children and the devil always hates his children. That's all you need to know about how they operate. This verse is not about God's children being better than the devil's. Is that right? I don't know. Let's see. Okay. So this verse is not about God's children being better than the devil's children. Both are obvious. We see that, and that's where we're going to go right now, is about this obvious and being anyone. Let's look at it one more time so we'll load it up and see what it's going to do. So, by this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. What it means is their stupidity and their going against God is obvious, is what that means. And it's for, look, what's the next word? This is a very important word. Anyone. Well, doesn't that include the believers who are growing in grace and knowledge? And doesn't include the ones that are in the cosmic dynasphere? It says anyone, doesn't it? Who does not practice righteousness is not of God. That's where we get the not of God, remember? Nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, I'm going to get a shot at it now. I'm going to show you something. Am I in the right place?
No.
This is where it is. Okay. We'll start with God always loves his children. The devil always hates Christians. This verse is not about God's children being better than the devil's children. Both are obvious. It said it in the verse itself. Here is, I took the color off because that helps us recognize it where it is. But we're going to start with the word anyone. Anyone, and that means including all believers. If it's anyone, it's all believers. Those who are obedient and growing, and those who are disobedient and not growing. It doesn't have anything to do with Satan's so-called children. So it means anyone that does this. And remember, it also said that it is obvious. Right after the word obvious, you see the word anyone. So it is obvious by the believers who are doing well and those who are doing not well. It includes all of them because God's grace goes that far. So anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. Now, do you all have it in your mind now what is not most it is from God, but he who does not practice righteousness is not of God. If he's not righteousness, he's probably raising hell and he's probably doing all kind of things that are not in, shouldn't be doing it. And all this is saying is that none of that, he who does not practice righteousness is not from God. God is still in control. And he can do things to help people get out of a rut and all the things that they do. But it is about them. You don't... God's children are no better than the ones that I was talking about. The ones that are obedient and they're growing and they're doing all the things they should do. And the ones that aren't doing that are still... Now, this look at this next one right here. This is the last part of it. It says, nor the one who does not love his brother, and it doesn't say it, but it means is not of God. Because we know that God wants us to practice righteousness. God wants us to love his brother. Do you think... the devil has children and they have brothers? I don't think so. This was just trying to explain. This whole thing is about the people that God have already saved. And they have something that we looked at last time, and we really went into it. And that is that He gives us free will. He gives us volition. And He lets that play out. Can you imagine how big that was for the whole people? When He said, okay, it would be be a lot easier if God said, well, y'all can use your own mind and do your own thing up to a point. But then you got to back out. No, we can do anything we want to with it, can't we? And if you are smart, you're going to not go the way that is going to get you in trouble. I remember when we were going on a cruise, about 12 of us. How many were there, Mary? About 12? Something like that. And I never had been on a cruise. And that boat was nothing but, as far as I could see, is delicious food. And I went the first day, the second day, and the third day I stopped because I was about to die. And they're open at midnight. You tell me, whenever it is, and I was going there. Now, see, I was making some, I had a little bit of fun. It tasted good, but it's not, it can't keep you that way. And that's what this is talking about. So let's look at it one time. He says both the God's children and the Satan's children are servants. You can see them very easily. And anyone, it means any one of them that is anyone, including all believers. I try to make it short, but I have to get it all in. Anyone means anybody, including believers, those who are obedient and growing, and those who are disobedient and not growing as well. And then it says, who does not practice righteousness. And what does that righteousness mean? They're not of God. Does it mean, well, what do? Did you get you another God? Or are you doing bound to other things now? No, it doesn't mean that. It means God has nothing to do with that. And the reason it's happening is because we use our volition to harm ourselves. And God has to discipline us. He has to do things to get us back in there. And the whole time they're doing this, they are in the cosmic system. It can't be fun working for Satan. And so that is what that is about. So let's go down a little further. And no one who does not love his brother, and that is, they shortened it, but it says what it means. It is not of God. If you don't love your brother, you're not of God. Right? Okay. But can you get back on God's good graces? Yes, you can do that too. In fact, that's what we all need to do. Okay, this is my last thing right here before I go on to the rest of it. God is not concerned with unbelievers who do not practice righteousness, nor whether. Is that the right whether? I can't remember. Is that? It is. Okay. Who do not practice righteousness, nor whether they love their brothers or not. Do you see how it started? God is not concerned with unbelievers who do not practice righteousness, or whether they love their brothers or not. He is concerned about believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another reason why I don't believe all these unbelievers are trying to get into all this and all, because it doesn't mean anything. This is really zeroed in on believers. And some believers are just growing so well, and then some of them just decide, well, I'm not going to do this. I don't have to go to church. I've got volition. I could go to the pool hall. I could go to a strip joint. I can do anything I want to do. And God lets them do it until He lowers the boom on them. And then they think, I don't think that was such a good idea after all. Okay, do you have more in your mind of what that was talking about? Because there's not one in a thousand that understand that this isn't how great God's believers are that obey Him, because they don't always obey Him, and they're going to sin as well. Okay. Now we're going to have... Yeah, that's exactly what it is. I was going to do that a while back when I was in here, and it's hard. I knew what it was, but to make everybody understand it and bring it all in together is hard to do. And that's what we're talking about. And so we'll just move on. These are some verses that has to do with God. But before I go, I want to ask you one more question. What does it mean, not of God? What does it refer to? See, at the end, I'll have to show you up again. Show you again here. Now look at it. We'll just look at one time and see what it's like. By this, what is the by this? Now see if you get 100 on your grade here. What does the by this? What is it talking about? Yeah, but it is the location. See, that they are in God, and they are born of God, and they are in the divine dynasphere. That's what it means. By this, because of this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious, and it means they're obvious by the way they act, the way they behave. And then he says, anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God. And he's not of God because God doesn't have anything to do with him. He has to humble himself. He has to acknowledge his sin. Then he can get back into the divine dynasphere. But they don't know what the divine dynasphere is. They don't know how to get to God. They'll go do something, help a neighbor or do something and think that's what God wants. That's not what He wants. He wants you to be humble and acknowledge your sins. And there's people probably, I don't know how many thousands or millions that are in the cosmic system. And all they would have to do is just stop and use that volition and say, Father, I hate it here. I don't want to stay here. And I'm guilty. And I'm acknowledging my sin. And before he could finish that, he would be in the divine dynasphere and all the rest of that would be gone. I'm sure there are people like that, but they don't know any better. So every time you see they're not of God means God will not allow them in the divine dynasphere until they turn it around, and then He will allow them to come in because they have humbled themselves and so forth. Okay, I got to keep going here. Okay, here's the first verse. John chapter 1:12. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Now, isn't that interesting? God had to give us the power to become the sons of God. That's a new wrinkle in it. Did you know that He had to do that before we could become sons of God? Well, and I guess just women too. Let's read it again, make sure you get it. But as many as received Him, maybe some thought they were receiving Him, but this says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power. We didn't have the power, but He did. He gave. I assume this is the Holy Spirit giving us the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself bears witness with ourself. By the way, we didn't have a witness. We didn't have a spirit until we were born again, and we got it instantaneously. So the Spirit Himself, that's the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And here's here. Believers acquire a human spirit But unbelievers do not have a human spirit unless they believe in Jesus Christ. And this is one reason when you're talking to them and you're giving them the gospel or you're trying to lead them, give them something they can hang on to. You always want to give the gospel. Because if you're not given the gospel, you're just blah, blah, blah. Because they can't understand it because they don't have a human spirit. And when you're talking about the gospel, that is when they can hear common grace. Y'all remember what that is? That kicks into gear and they can understand. So Highway 10, that's where it was. And I was way out in, where's that road where I-10 and it was, anyway, it was a big place where we were doing a lot of work. And there were four or five Jehovah's Witnesses that rode with me to the job and back. And they couldn't say anything about it because I was the superintendent. But I got so tired of it because these people are sincere until they find out that God's got a much better deal. And that was what I was trying to tell them to do. But my point is, they didn't have a human spirit. So I wouldn't talk to them about that. And by the way, one of them was, I found, he was a good friend of mine. And he left, and I lost track of him for about 10 years. And he called my house. That was probably about 20 years ago. But anyway, he called my house. I said, his name was Larkin. I said, Larkin, what are you doing? He said, I want to find out something about blah, 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 blah. I said, let me ask you something. I said, are you still one of those people that we are that I was trying to open their minds for? He said, I forgot. I got away with that 10 years ago, never looked back. And I thought, hallelujah. I mean, it's not me, but I did. I remember I was in an argument with him, and he said, you know, they don't hurt anybody. And I said, okay, what if your wife was in your house and somebody came in, a burglar, and you had two children in there as well, and this guy was going to go over there and rape your wife and kill your children, what would you do? He said, nothing. I said, that's not true. He was a good guy. But they had brainwashed him to the point that he could not protect his family. Excuse me. And I told him I didn't believe him. Okay, where are we here? Unless they believe in Jesus Christ. Okay. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 through 18. And if children, this is talking about the believers, their children, believers. And he says, and if children, heirs also. That means they are going to have an heir. It means that they will get something that they would like. And in this case, whenever you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are an heir to begin with. But there are other types. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. When it says heirs of God, who is that? Look at the rest of the verse if you want to. Who is it? Heirs. No, I'm just looking at this part. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. It's talking about God the Father is the one that gave them heirs and made them heirs and fellow heirs with Christ. He's God also. If indeed we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. You see the if there? And fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him. We are not going to be heirs with Christ if we don't suffer with Him in order that we can also be glorified with Him. So you have the way you could either suffer with Him and be glorified with Him, or you can say, I don't think I like suffering, I'm going to do something else, and you would not be glorified with Him. Verse 18, this is such a great part, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. That is great motivation right there. I mean, you can have, just a second, you can have this motivation that will carry you doing this, see? And so, but it starts up here that you understand. You can think of the hardest and the worst place you were, and you were suffering, and you think it's a big deal. And I would think it's a big deal. But when we get to heaven and we see what they have there, we're going to think, I get all of this for that little thing that bothered me? That's the way it goes. That's what this verse is saying. Yes?
I wanted to ask you, what class is that, if indeed? What class is it?
Well, it's a let's see.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's probably a subjunctive. A subjunctive means that if you want to do it, you can do it, or if you don't want to do it, you can do it. One of the ways. And so if you could do it this way, and fellow heirs of Christ, and indeed you may suffer with Him, or you may not suffer with Him, but it's all dependent upon what you decide. Your volition is acting, and that's what that's for, and it's called a subjunctive. It's the only if. There's four conditional clauses, but there's only one that is just like the one in English, and that's it, the subjunctive. Okay, let's see. All right, we got one more little deal here in suffering. The suffering of this present time, you saw that up here, right up there, are the common lot of all believers. I'm going to say something about that too. When I was in high school, I was in different places, and some people had a nice car and a big house, and they didn't have so much and all, and they were bickering and all that about. And they said, they never have to suffer like we do. I said, how do you know? And what kind of suffering are they suffering? Their suffering to them is just as hard on them as it is on us. And they said, well, you don't have to get mad. I'm not mad. Anyway. But that's the gist of it. The suffering of this present time are the common lot of all believers. This generation, which is enjoying more creature comforts than any other in history, frowns upon this statement. But even present day Christians cannot escape suffering. And that is true also. So anytime you know somebody that is suffering, and they might be just telling everybody and making a big deal out of it, or they might be silently suffering, you pray for people who are suffering, for them to recognize there's a reason for it. God is getting their attention. And if they're not a believer, maybe they will ask the Lord, or they will believe the Lord Jesus Christ at the cross and those type of things. Okay, this is the last one in here, and this is Galatians chapter 3, verse 26. For you are what? All sons of God through what? Faith in Christ Jesus. That is a very small verse, but it has a lot to say. For you are all, I like that word all there, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Now we're through with our review. Literally we are, and this is where we were going to start today. But I might get just a little bit into this. But this is where we're going. We were in verse 10, and now we're in verse 11. But verse 10 was a monster, wasn't it? But you have to understand these things. And what you want to do is go through these notes and get it to where you understand, to where you can tell other people about these things. And most people are going, they don't know anything, and they just want, oh, well, that's good for you, but I don't care about it. But if you find someone who does, then you'll be able to explain things that others don't know. So 1 John chapter 3, verse 11 says, "For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." What was the verse before us on verse 10? What did it have in it? What word that is in here also? Anybody remember it? Love. It's all about, you are to love your brethren, your brother, remember? He's doing it here. I mean, I don't know how many times, I know how to look it up. Someday I'll look up, how many times does love appear in the Bible? Well, it's about half of the Bible. Okay, so what is this saying? John often speaks in this epistle about the beginning. And do y'all know what comes to my mind and what should come to your mind? John often speaks in his epistle about the beginning. Where is the first place that we saw the beginning in 1 John? What is the beginning? It's eternity past. And in the first couple of verses, it's talking about the beginning, which is not a beginning. And in the Bible, it starts the first same way. It's, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But when you say this, it's hard to do for people don't understand. That really wasn't a beginning. The Godhead had been living for maybe, I don't know, billions, trillions, whatever it was. But this was the beginning of them creating the heavens and the earth. Anyway, I thought you might want to hear that. So the epistle is about the beginning. The beginning he is talking about is in the incarnation of Christ. Because that is the beginning of everything of Christ on earth in human form. But there are others that say, no, the beginning is when the church age began. And you have people who go at each other, the theologians, and they try to show you this or that. It could be either one, but it is the beginning. And so, let's see how many verses I have here. Okay, just start. We'll just start here and stop in just a minute. Okay. John 15:12 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." How many people, how many believers out there think they are commanded to love one another? It's not God saying, I think you ought to love one another. I think you need to be nice, whatever it is. But when it's a command, he expects you to obey it. But what if you had a curmudgeon for a neighbor? Would it be a bit harder to love that person?
Yes.
Yes, it was. He sounds like he has experience with that. But here's the thing. Since it's a command and you say, well, I'm not going to go to that guy's house. And you could say he is, I'll say something, but I can't say that part. You have to love them anyway. And you want to call him a SOB, son of Belial. And yet, you're not really loving him if you're doing those things. And you never know. You might turn him around. There things happen like that all the time. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God." Isn't that something? I would like to stop and expand on that, but that's amazing to me. Listen, it says, "Beloved," and we are the beloved, the church age. "Let us love one another, For love is from God. Now, what did God say? God loves us first before we can love anybody. That's what this is talking about. For love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God. How about that? And knows God. These are the believers that are growing. They walk with God. All the things that are, when you get to the spiritual life, then not just here, but they are getting the big things because they have been with God. They were born in God and they know God. Now everybody can say, "Oh yes, I know God," and about the only thing they know is how to sing. What is that song? It's this old song. I can't think of it now. You all know it. Let me see if I can think of the name of it. Well, that's a good one. You know, I was thinking about, would y'all like to have that in our repertoire?
Yes.
Because it is a powerful song.
Our God is an awesome God.
He reigns in heaven above with wisdom, power, and grace. And you want to get up there? Yes! I might not ought to do that after all. But it really is a good way to get it started. No, if I knew what the first part was, I could do it. But I'll tell you afterwards. But let's go last one here. 1 John 4:21. And this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also. And that is all brothers. And you do it with what kind of love? Agape love. Yeah, no matter what. Okay, well, we're done for this evening. And I'll try to squeeze out of my cells what that song is. I know all of you know it. I don't know if I can do that or not, but we'll see. Okay, any questions before we end? Y'all get it? I mean, even if... Don't worry about not looking good. None of us look good when we're straining, trying to get something. But if I can answer it for you, let it rip, because that's something that's really important. Yes, what?
I know. Well, it says that you should love one another just as I love you. He's talking to believers, right?
Yeah.
So specifically, there's a special kind of love, I guess. Wouldn't that be for another believer?
Oh yeah, that's not agape love. That is, what is that? That's you have four types of love, and that's
phileo.
Yes, that's right. Phileo, and that's when you know them well and you're in love with them. That type of thing.
It's a brother. Yeah,
it's a different kind of deal. Okay, let's close. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful that we can go over these things and very carefully go through the scriptures, because so many people have got off course because they weren't getting it accurately. I'm giving it as accurate as I know how. If someone comes up and says, no, you need to do this, and it is biblical, then I would change, and I would hope that they would do the same. So we need to study these things and we want to get them in our mind. And you don't have to try to put them off on somebody else, but you might just say, "Did you know what I found out lately?" or whatever, just to get them involved. There might be 20 people that think you're a hack, but only one is all it takes to really have a firestorm. So we pray that you will help us do that. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh yeah, I know you do, but I'm just making it my point to study it back. I brought my dog here. I'm going to go to dinner.
So I haven't started shooting yet.
Oh, that's me.